to you from the island nation of Sri Lanka on the roads. A very rare South Asian drive time. We haven't done one of these for a long time. But you know what? We take the whatever opportunity God gives us to share. We take whatever chance that we have whenever God kind of quickens us to just to put things out there as we do what God has for us to do. As you do what God has for you to do, it'll have the desired effect. And as each one of us just stays true to our assignment and to what it is that our purpose is for being here at such a time as this, because we are here for a window in eternity. And you know, it's pretty incredible what our time in the earth is. You know, we're eternal beings, and yet we come into a temporal reality and into a temporary situation for a season. And my gosh, of all the times in history to be here, this is an incredible one, to have been sent by God into this. You know, sometimes I've wondered why we've ended up being here, you know, like, and I've not always had clarification on that, like, but for me, though, I know that there's definitely an element for the child of God to live as Christ and to die as gain. We come here in part because God has a reason and a purpose for us. You know, there's multiple layers to our being here in this life. You know, part of it is the experience that we have, and the dynamic of being here, experiencing both light and dark coexisting in the same plane. You know, that in and of itself is a miracle, that you can have both light and dark growing, the wheat and the tares growing side by side, the light and the dark coexisting on in a paradigm at the same time. It's that in and of itself is a miracle, and how that is allowed to exist is to allow for us to have this experience. That's incredible. You know, there's so many aspects of our time in the earth that perhaps we take for granted just because, you know, we've grown accustomed to them or we're here. But really, you know, there's so much going on, and there's a lot of things that, you know, we don't know. And sometimes I wonder if we, certain things that it's okay, you know, like it's all right if we don't have all the answers for, because God will reveal to us what we need to know. We do, as the Spirit of God leads us, search out certain matters. But then at the other time too, you can know all of the details and you can know everything that there is to know, but if you miss the core of the matter, if you miss the main reason for which you're here in the earth, then what's the point? You know, it's not like if you figure it all out that, you know, you're going to get an award. so you know, like, some of it's fascinating to learn and to experience and to dig into matters. But then other things too, sometimes you're just like, you know what, if you're missing the majors, if you're missing the main reasons, if you're missing the main points, then you're, you know, then that's not good. You know, you don't want to miss the primary things. So what are some of the primary things? Well, walk with God, you know, walk with Him for yourself. Know His voice. You know, if you don't know His voice and if you don't know Him for yourself, then like you're not in a good way. You know, you can, like a lot of people within the world religions, they know all kinds of stuff about God and they know a bunch of principles, but they don't know Him for themselves. And the person that actually knows God for themselves is in a much better place, even if they may be struggling with other things. So, you know, if you don't know God for yourself, then that's going to be, that's going to make things a lot tougher going forward, because you're going to need that voice of the Spirit to lead and guide you. You know, it is the voice of the Spirit of God that is going to lead and guide you through the times that are on the horizon. And when people don't have the leading of the Spirit and they're left to their own devices, well, okay, you know, sure, when everything is calm, it might seem like that's working, but wait till you get a turbulent time. You know, there's a scriptures talk about, you know, wealth is worthless in the day of wrath. but righteousness saves from death. You know, you can have all that the world has to offer, but that's not going to save you in the time of calamity. So, you know, right now where we are in the world is without knowing the voice of God for yourself, you're in trouble. And, you know, we've tried to make things known through the years. We've tried to reach out to people as much as possible. You know, we've shared the messages that God's given us, despite people's attacks on us when we've shared things with a clean motive and a clean intention. Still, we've persisted and we've not held a grudge. We've not you know, taken vengeance on people when we've had the opportunity. But even in the midst of that too, the problem for people is that, you know, you can attack the servant of God, but you do it to your own hurt. You know, if the message is, if it's like cutting off your own lifeline. You know, you're drowning in the ocean, you're drowning at sea, and somebody tosses you a lifeline, but you don't like that option, so you just cut that lifeline off, and you just continue to drown, and you go down and you die. I mean, there's a lot of people that don't like the truth, so they try to destroy the message, they try to destroy the messenger, but that doesn't help them. You know, they're still in this awful place, leading to their own destruction. So now, as things continue to ramp up, already people are struggling with what's on the horizon. They're struggling with what's on the horizon, but that's, you know, we're just getting started right now. You know, men's hearts will fail them when they see what's coming upon the earth. That's what the scriptures talk to us about. And we know that, you know, that we're just beginning to break ground in some of that stuff right now. So, you know, people are not ready. You know, they're not prepared. They're not prepared mentally. They're not prepared physically. They're not prepared even in their relationships, you know, with other people. So, you know, I recommend for some, for you guys that haven't heard this one out there, there's a great word that Brother Thomas did a recent appearance on Zeph's show, Zeph Daniels, our buddy in New Mexico, and just wonderful brother in Christ. Zeph Daniels, you got to check that show. It's the closeout show for 2015 going into 2016. Brother Thomas has been one who's been on point with what God has been speaking about, the geopolitical events and things coming down in the U.S., a lot of things that have transitioned and continue to move forward there, you know, things that he talked about. Now, got to give credit where credit's due, people. You know, he talked about certain things years ago that were, to most people in their own mind, completely, you know, out in left field. Like some things about, you know, what would happen with Russia and what would happen with geopolitical events, race riots in the U.S., all kinds of stuff. And all of these things have been coming to pass. And, you know, realize that there are voices that God has put in the earth and they don't receive a lot of mainstream recognition. But those are the voices of God, and these are the accurate prophets, mind you, the accurate voices, the ones that are actually sharing the things that need to be known for the sake of the true children of God to adjust and to make some decisions and make some choices. And now we don't try to save our lives in the earth. That's not what we're doing here. But at the same time, God wants you to have wisdom and wants you to make good decisions. And he's going to let you know ahead of time so that, because you are a partner in what he's doing in the earth. You know, God had a very, he modeled certain things in the ways that he had relationship with people throughout history that walk with him. So you look at an Abraham, you look at a Daniel, you look at a David, you look at these guys, how they live their lives in the earth. And God has for us to live our life and our experience in a particular way while we're here. And it's not It's not completely with you not having any understanding of things that are on the horizon, and it's not for you just to be there just as a passive recipient and a passive target. No, nothing like that. You are actively engaged. You are a warrior of the living God in the earth at such a time as this. When you pray, things change. When you move, things happen. When you respond to the work and the will of the Spirit of God, it's an incredible adventure that you're part of, and you need to transition into that. One of the most damnable things that the modern day church has done to people that go and sit there is that it has stripped people of their God-given rights, of their power in Christ Jesus. It has made them think of themselves in a completely wrong way. And the end result of that is that people have missed their destiny in Christ because they've identified with a false narrative of who they are. Like, you, my brother, you, my sister, as a follower of Christ Jesus, you are not a victim. You are not a victim. See, when you identify with being a victim, right away you are giving your power over to whoever it is that you say victimizes you. You are saying that one is a stronger one to be able to victimize you. Now, what do the scriptures tell us? The scriptures tell us that all authority in heaven and earth was given unto Jesus. And then he gave us instructions. He said, go into all the world, and we're supposed to do certain things. All authority, all power was given unto him. We're in Christ Jesus. In him we live and move and have our being. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, right? Right. Okay. So, we know this from the scripture. So you are nobody's victim. Even Jesus, when he was before Pilate, and Pilate was like, don't you know that I got the power to crucify you or the power to let you go? In fact, basically saying, don't you know, Jesus? What he was saying to Jesus, you're my victim right now, if I want to do this to you. And what did Jesus say? You would have no power over me if it was not given to you by the Father to do this. So basically, he had to reestablish how things worked in that situation. He put that forward. And in that situation, at that time, that was an important distinction to make. Jesus said, listen, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord and I can take it back up again. Nobody took Jesus' life from him. He was not a victim. He was not a victim when he went to the cross. Oh no. Jesus Christ went to the cross on purpose. He went to the cross to pay a price. He went to the cross to do something that needed to be done, so that the door was open, the veil was rent, so that you would have direct access to the throne of God, so that you could move in the authority that God had put in you, so that you could move into your prophetic destiny of who God intended you to be. It is a damnable thing for religious structures in this world to now go and stitch back up the veil and say you are now a victim once again. Absolute heresy. Absolutely flies in the face of God's grace, of what God did for you. But you know what? People, a lot of people choose and want to be victims because they don't want the responsibility that comes with not being a victim. See, when you're a victim, now you're completely stuck, because now somebody's victimizing you, so you have no power. And i.e., also, when you have no power, then you're not responsible for what happens. Aha, there's the rub. Because most people don't want to take responsibility. They don't want to be be stewards of their own soul. They don't want to make decisions as the Spirit of God would lead and guide them. What happened in Exodus 20 when God started speaking to all the children of Israel from the mountain? What'd they say to Moses? Moses, listen, you go and you talk to God, and then you come back and you tell us what he said. Because why? Because the people did not want to be responsible for hearing the voice of God. Because what are you going to say then? If you hear the voice of God, what are you going to say? God didn't really say that? You know, they want to be able to do what Lucifer did with Eve in the garden. Did God really say? Did God really say? Did he really say, Eve? Come on, Eve. Did he really say that? Are you sure? They want to put some layers in between there. Because as John 17 says, that there's that element inside of there where what happens with people is that they don't want to come into the light because their deeds are evil. They don't want to be accountable because the thing in their heart that they refuse to give over to God. And because they refuse to give it over to God, they would rather be slaves to that because it's comfortable, it's known, it goes in line with that thing, and they choose to be recycled into this whole thing. They want to come back into hell. Now God is creating. He made that door. He opened that door up with Christ Jesus. The way was made for freedom. Christ Jesus, he came to set the captives free. For freedom, Christ Jesus has set us free. He wants us to know and to experience that. But people choose bondage. They choose slavery. They choose the illusion. They choose the witchcraft. They choose the manipulation. They choose the things that would keep them enslaved. Now, in that choice and in that process, what is your role? Well, first of all, you've been given power. So move in the power that God's given you. Start with that. Move in what God has given you. Carry on in what God has called you to do and called you to be. You got to start with that. So don't focus so much out for a little bit and focus with what God has called you to do, who He's called you to be, the role that He has for you. Because here's the thing, you're a lot of times people are so concerned with everybody else, and they refuse to be stewards of their own life, of their own reality, of their own experience with God. God's got a role for you to do. Why don't you engage in that for a start? Because I think we've so often we've seen people just kind of carry on in the illusions, carry on in the deceptions, and always be focused on something else going on externally. Within, you've got to take all that you are and just line it up with who God is. Give 100% of yourself over to the Spirit of the living God and let Him work with you. Let Him direct you. Let Him lead you. Let Him guide you. You will not find peace by trying to do it with somebody else, by trying to make somebody else line up with your own perception. You know, the way that the world works is it does groupthink. The world sets people up for groupthink, and it thinks if they could just get enough people to conform to a particular viewpoint, then they must be okay because they've got strength in numbers. It doesn't work like that in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, it is one king who has a dominion. And if you come under His dominion, you line up with what He says, and that's it. That's the only way it's going to work. And if you try to do your own thing, if you try to go your own way, if you try to be separate, it is going to destroy you. Because really, there's only light and dark. There's only the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil, the prince of the power of the air. There's only those two things going on in the world. And people think that they're doing their own thing. They're not. They're going the way of the world. They're going the way of the devil. That's all going to wrap them up in that same thing. So many different manifestations of that same deception, that same illusion, that same soul-sucking, destroying reality. You will not find peace in the world. People find momentary, temporary happiness, quick reliefs here and there. No peace. No peace in the world. No rest in the world. And even now, all the things that they once had are slowly getting stripped from them. The highs don't last so well. The distractions aren't really doing it. All of the things that they thought were so important, they're not doing it for them anymore. And they're terrified with the things that are already starting to come in the world, and it's just getting ramped up. See, to destroy the followers of Christ is to destroy themselves, because when they begin to attack the children of God, what they're doing is they're also attacking that which has the life of the living God in it. See, the children of God, we are those that are connected to the source. The worlders have no source. So when they destroy the children of God, what they're doing is they're also aligning themselves for their own destruction. Because what is a branch that is not connected to the vine? What happens to it? The only thing that is worthwhile for it in John 15 is for it to be burned. You know, that's all that you can do with it. You can only burn it. You can only because there's no life in it. So when they go after the children of God and they move and to hurt and to harm and to displace and to kill and to destroy those, they actually do it against themselves. Because it's the very fact that the children of God are still here that they're not destroyed. So, you know, there's because the light and the dark does coexist. I mean, you go back to the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, and you'll see a pointed example of if there was even 10, that God would have spared the city. And there wasn't. So God didn't spare the city. So, in that discussion between Abraham and the Father, and Abraham petitioning God, you know, and even now, you know, the children of God in the earth, we petition God because there's definitely part of that heart inside of us that doesn't want to see people destroyed. We don't. We would like to see people saved. We would like to see that gift that is there, that is available, that be actualized and that people know God for themselves and that they walk out this life in what God intended for them to be. We don't take joy or pleasure in the destruction of people. It's not what we're looking for. But yet, at the same time, there will be justice. There will be a recompense. There will be a conclusion of the matter. You know, every generation you have elements of that happen. But right now we're living in this incredible time, and we're living in a time where things are shifting and changing. And as the changes are taking place, the Spirit of God is also moving and doing what His plan and purpose is. Now, to ignore that, to try to fight against that, is to try to fight against that which is inevitable. So recently, just coming back to Sri Lanka, I've had a chance to go to the ocean a bit, and whenever I get in the ocean and I love the water and I love the waves, with the waves that are there, like, you are not going to win that fight. You will not win a fight with a wave. Either you flow with it, you go under it, you go over it. But that thing will destroy you if you're in its path. You know, it's unapologetically, it'll be exactly what it is. And we've talked about this. We've talked about the waves of light. We've talked about the wave of light, the thing that's happening, the thing that's on the horizon, the thing that's coming, the thing that's already beginning. We've already talked about some of this stuff. For the child of God, you flow with that. For the child of God, you will you'll be positionally correct with the Father, and you're going to be listening to the leading of the guiding of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be moving with Him as He's speaking to you, and you're going to flow with it, and you are going to ride that wave on an incredible adventure at such a time as this. That's going to be your experience. As we said, as I said recently, as had the chance to be on Zeph's show, you're going to be comfortable in an uncomfortable time. You're going to be comfortable with an uncomfortable experience for most people because you have been prepared. You have been seasoned. You have gone through. And so you know, it's going to be something that You've grown accustomed to certain things that are part of a harsh reality of being a child of God in this world. So you know what it is to have your businesses destroyed. You know what it is to suffer material loss in this world. You know what it is to be targeted. You know what it is to... there's so many things that you already know. You know what it is to be stalked. You know what these things are, right? So, for the worlders, they are unprepared for what's on the horizon. Whereas you, my brother, you, my sister, you've been through. You've been through the fire, you've been tested, you're an overcomer, and God has you here right now at such a time as this. So in your engagement now in this time, as you ride that wave of light that God is moving and flowing through, and it is part of a cosmic shift, it is part of an age transition and an age change, and it's not something that happens immediately. It is something, but it is something that happens and it builds. You know, just like any wave will build. And as it just continues to build and to grow, things are going to just continue to escalate. Now, there is no fear for the child of God, because when you are perfect, first of all, perfect love drives out all fear. If you have those remnants of those type of emotions and those kind of struggles, take that to the Father and let Him expose and reveal where that's coming from. Because usually those things are one of two places when you feel those kind of fears. Either those are from an area in your own life where you have not surrendered to the Father. So you've not surrendered something to Him. And because of that, that's a chink in your armor, which you can resolve that by just surrendering that place as God reveals that to you. And it may be something of how you relate to resources in this life. It may be something of how you relate to just the world and things around you. Whatever it is. So let that be something that if He shows you that in your time before Him, then you deal with it. That may be one place. Another spot is you'll be picking up on what's going on with other people. And that is a different thing, where you actually, you're sensing and feeling and experiencing the fear that others are facing at a particular time. And when that happens, realize that that's something going on externally that's not yours, you don't own it. And, but that's something too, you bring that back before God in prayer. Prayer is something that you need to continue to cultivate. You need to continue to get back into that place. You need to pray continually and let the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit lead and guide you in your decision making in such a time as this. There's a need to do some natural things in this time as well. Some simple things make a big difference. Recently, one thing too. I think one thing out of Brother Thomas's talk that was it's worth re-mentioning here, but something that he felt strongly about was making sure to have some extra food on hand. And I used to work in disaster management. From a standpoint of risk reduction and preparedness, that's generally a good tip for anybody. For you and for your family. Now, let me give you a little basis for what to do in that area too. So the typical person will need for their drinking and eating needs 4.5 to 5 liters of water a day. I mean, 4 liters, for example. 4 liters is a little bit more than a gallon. So if you're in the U.S., if you're international, then and you go by liters, 4 liters per person per day. So if you're talking about your drinking needs for the people that are in your house, it's simple math. Just say, okay, 4 liters or 1 gallon per person per day for however many days that you want to be prepared. And put that aside. If you're just talking about eating and drinking, if you're talking about basic things also that extend past that to like washing and things like that, now you're going 15 to 20 liters per person per day. So you know, calculate it out like that. Just do the math. So you're talking about 3 to 4 gallons per person per day for eating and drinking if you're going to extend it out and have more water available. But something as simple as water. There's that old adage, you never know the worth of water till the well runs dry. You know, just recently in Texas, I had some friends who had their house literally flooded, and most of their possessions were washed away. And it was literally in the course of an hour and a half when they noticed the rainwaters coming up, and then those went up from just being on the levels going up to literally two feet flooding into their house of water rushing through and sweeping away all of their stuff. 6 friends that were there that all lost their place. That happens. You know, there's in Texas, again, even as I've been out of the country, there's a tornado that took out a lot of people's homes. These are things that happen outside of some other type of catastrophic events that are potentials. So to know that these kind of events happen and they can go on, just a little bit of preparedness is good. You know, simple things, simple types of foods, if you can learn how to make them, if you can learn how to prepare them, they're going to make a big difference, and they're not going to cost you very much to do. A very simple one would be something like rice and dal. You know, rice can be prepared very easily, and dal or you know, is a good protein source. Lentils, that's what that is as well. So protein source in lentils, or you know, just that in and of itself, you can survive on that for a long time, and it does not cost you much to have that available. So simple things where it's going to reduce your risk and your vulnerability. And as Brother Thomas kind of talked about that recently, I believe it's worth re-mentioning that, because for you guys that are listening in, just some basic preparations for emergency situations is going to make a big difference for you. You know, I think a basic minimal preparation for most people should be to be able to be self-sufficient for a couple of weeks for most situations. That'll get you through, you know, a lot of different scenarios that happen if infrastructure ever doesn't work. And so, you know, that's just a simple thing, but it's just like a natural preparation. Now, scripturally, where do examples like that happen? Well, there was in scriptures in the book of Acts, you know, one time there was a guy that gave a prophetic word about a famine that was going to happen. And the church, it wasn't in that particular area. It was going to happen in another area where the church was. And they knew that this was on the horizon. So they made preparations, and they sent preparations for the famine that was on the horizon. So this is part of living in this life, part of making adjustment for the things that are happening and taking place. These are not things that you are to worry about or perplex about. It's just to realize that, okay, this is there. This can happen. This is something that God is quickening you to. You need to pray, but you also need to do a couple things to adjust so that you are not dependent and you minimize your vulnerability in that situation. And at all times, of course, you trust God. But with that trust, too, when God tells you, then you got to act. So, I mean, God gave Joseph a vision. You know, he showed him for what to do. So, I mean, God gave Pharaoh the dream. Pharaoh was told the interpretation of the dream by Joseph. And Joseph then shared what could be done. He said, look, you're going to have 7 years where you can make this type of preparation. So do it. Because afterwards, the rough time that's on the horizon, it's going to destroy those years of plenty. And they moved on that. Now, the modern day church, in its laziness and its apathy, would tell people, okay, no, you just need to trust God. Of course you trust God. And in trusting God, God's speaking to you and telling you that there's certain things that are on the horizon. So you need to do a few things in the natural so that you are better prepared, that you're better able. You know, when we just did that talk recently with my brother, Patrick, and he talked about, you know, doing some things to try to improve your health. You know, do that. Do that while you have the opportunity. Because, you know, we live in natural bodies. So because you live in a natural body, there's some things that you can do to optimize your body and your time in the earth. So take a little bit of stewardship and responsibility and do that. Now, I know that a lot of us have been beat up in our time while we're here. We've struggled. We've come through a lot. But this is the reason that you were brought into this life. God has purpose for you here. There's some things that we need to learn. There's some things that we need to experience. But there's also we're also partners in what God is doing in this world at such a time as this. You are the ambassadors of the living God. You are His representatives in the earth. You are witnesses for all that is happening and all that is taking place. You bear witness to the light and to the truth. There is reason for you being here. And you need to engage in those reasons. So, these are important things. So also, just want to encourage you too, don't worry. You know, that's when, so in Matthew 6, when it says, you know, consider the birds, you know, consider the lilies of the field, consider these things, consider how God takes care of them. Those scriptures will continue to apply even in the times of calamity. They do apply. You know, the promises of God are there. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He's, you know, the things that you need are going to be taken care of. Now, sometimes God is showing you in advance what to do so that you're in the right way. Because this is where, too, the worlders and the religious systems look for formulas. But that's not how it works. God works in a dynamic living relationship. Sometimes it's ravens and manna coming from the sky. Other times, it's the Shunammite woman. Other times, it's you know, it's throw the net on the side of the boat. You're going to catch that 153 fish. Other times, it may be just go make some tents and work. You know, and you're going to receive a wage for that work, and then you'll buy some food from it. You know, it's going to be a dynamic living relationship, and you're just going to need to go moment by moment, step by step, as the Spirit of God leads and guides you, and just take it as it is. But you don't go the way of the world. You allow God to reveal that to you. If you have a lot, then you have a lot to share, and you have a lot of resources to work with. If you don't have much to work with, then whatever you have, even if it's a stick in your hand, you put that before God and let God empower that. So instead of being dejected and downcast and struggling, you know, hold on to God, hold on to Him, trust Him, let Him lead and guide you, and prepare yourself as much as you can for what's on the horizon. Because we're living in incredible, incredible times. Incredible times. And at the same time that people are going to be melting down, you are called to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That's you are to rejoice. You are to also remember that the God that you love and serve, that He is also going to bring about justice and recompense. And He's going to accomplish His will, His plan, His purpose, His intention in the earth. God gives windows and seasons of time for people to repent. He gives people opportunities to get right with Him. He gives people the chance to also fill up their cup unto their own destruction and unto their own judgment. That happens too. So sometimes people think they're getting away with things, and that's not the case. It's just God's giving them time. But once they've solidified that this is indeed the course that they're going to go, and they've rejected the truth, there's no reason for them to be granted any more time. So, you know, right now, this is an incredible window. I'm excited to be here at such a time as this. I'm excited for the things that God is doing. I'm excited for the children of God that are moving in who God made them to be. I'm excited for you because your life is not what the world has told you the limitation of your life is going to be. Your life is whatever God desires for it to be. And to the extent that you will go with Him is the extent to which you will experience the power of the Spirit of the living God flowing through you and the reality of His destiny for you. The best way, the fastest way, is just to go 100% all in with the Spirit of God and let Him lead and guide you and direct you, and that's it. That's all it is. That's the best way. If you'll do that, you'll experience and know that which is real and that which is intended for you. If you don't do that, you're just going to be going the long way around the mountain. You want to go the short way. And the shortest way may not seem like the shortest way because the world tells you it's got a shortcut, but it's really a dead end. The world's shortcut is a dead end. Figuratively and literally, you will end up in an end which is just death. But the shortcut, the path you want to go, is the path of complete surrender. You go all in with Christ Jesus. Give all of yourself over to Him and let Him lead and guide you in each moment. And let it be what it is. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. You're going to experience and know the reality of who God intended for you to be while you're in the earth. And to not take God up on His offer is just to limit yourself. Now that you know, just go with Him. He's already called you, so why would you go with anything less? I mean, it's a wonderful thing to be called by God. My gosh, you've been given the blessing of life, and you're moving forward in that blessing. So that being the case, there's no apology necessary for the reality that you know and you experience while you're here. You know, people will always wonder how you do what you do, because as you follow the Spirit of God, He's going to allow you to live a miraculous life. And we're going to live differently than the way the world lives. We're going to experience things differently. I mean, people will look at your life and wonder how you live the life that you live, how you experience the things that you experience. It's going to be an incredible adventure for you where most people would never be able to understand how that's even possible. But part of your living life, the way that you live it, is as a testimony and as a witness that it is possible. There is another way. There is another reality that is meant to be the experience of the child of God. And we don't live the way the world lives. See, a worlder will go into the desert and he will die in that desert. The child of God will be led by the Spirit of God. He'll go into a desert and there'll be provision, there'll be protection, there'll be whatever he needs for him to go through that experience. And he's going to come out an overcomer. So we can experience two different situations in the natural, and for the child of God, he's going to have a very different reality than the worlder. When the plagues came to Egypt, the child of God that was in Goshen had the protection and the provision of the Spirit of God, while those that were in Egypt were destroyed with each round of plague that took place. So know that that's part of just what's been a historic reality while people have been in the earth. Hold on to God with everything that you are. Trust Him. He knows what He's doing with you. Your time in the earth is not about saving your life here. It's about being in step with His purpose. Because you want, in the end, for Him just to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That's what you want. That's the place of peace for you. That's the place of your reality and your experience being what God intended for it to be while you're here. And you want to transition on from this life into the eternity that God has for you. This is not it for us. This is a transition spot. This is a flash. This is just a flash in the pan. Our life here is but a vapor, as scriptures talk about it. So, but you can also enjoy your time in the earth, and you can live an incredible, free adventure that the Spirit of God will lead and guide you through. So go for it. Go for it. Go for what God has for you. Trust Him. Let Him lead and guide you. He knows what He's doing with you. And with that, just want to say we love you guys. God bless you. Wishing you guys an amazing 2016. We just bless you in the name of the living God. We bless the work of your hands. We bless your thoughts. We bless God's plan and purpose over and on your life. And just pray really quick. Father, in Jesus' name, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ that listen in. Thank you, Father, for their life. Thank you for the reality that they know and experience while they're here. I just pray, Father, for each and every one of us, Lord, that you would keep us, that you would lead us, that you would guide us, that you would protect us. Father, I pray, Lord, that for everyone that is struggling and that is under oppression and under attacks, I just pray that you would grant them relief. I pray that you would show them, Father, and reveal the source of these attacks too, so that they can also make adjustments and that they can walk in freedom, Father, and that they could minimize the places where they're vulnerable so that they would also continue to move forward, Lord, in your plan and purpose for them. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to strengthen each and every one of us with the vision, and let, Lord God, our daily actions be shaped by that vision that you've put in each and every one of us and the purpose that you have for us at such a time as this. I bless each and every one of us, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Talk to you soon. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Talk to you later. Bye.